Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. Thankful for the opportunity to be with you this morning. Appreciate Obi and Stacia opening their home to us last night. We had a good, never long enough, but we had a good visit with them. And again, appreciate you guys finding room for us. Here in Psalm 23, familiar passage of Scripture, let's begin in verse 1. We read, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, David here in this text compares the Lord God to a shepherd. And, you know, probably no one was more equipped to talk about a shepherd than David. David knew much about what it meant to be a shepherd. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Look at verse 11 of 1 Samuel 16. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And Jesse said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we'll not sit down till he come hither." Here we see David. David was a shepherd himself. Look at 1 Samuel 16, verse 19. "Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me thy son David, which is with the sheep." David was a shepherd. He kept the sheep. Look at 1 Samuel 17 and verse 15. "David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep." He was feeding the sheep. Look at verse 34 of 1 Samuel 17. "David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep." He said, "There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." Here we see him as the shepherd willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Now, the work of the shepherd is often portrayed. We see images and pictures of a shepherd, and it's always some little guy in a white robe laying out on a hillside daydreaming while the sheep wander around in the pasture, portrayed as weak and helpless. And isn't that how a man named Jesus is portrayed in our day? Weak and helpless, dependent upon others, but not a true shepherd, not the shepherd, not the shepherd of the sheep. David told an account there in 1 Samuel, if you still have it, 17. Look at verse 34. We'll pick up where we left off. "David said unto Saul," he said, "thy father kept his servant's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." Now, anyone but a true shepherd would have just let that lamb go, wouldn't he? Wouldn't have been concerned about that lamb. But not the true shepherd, not the shepherd of the sheep. He said, "I went after him, and I smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, he'll be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." You know, I went back. David went, that one lost sheep, he went after it, didn't he? And he slew that bear, and he slew that lion, and he brought it back. I went back, and you've probably read some of these accounts of those who went out and observed the shepherds back in those days where men still kept sheep. And there were a few things they commented on about the shepherd. I thought these were interesting. they called their sheep by name. Isn't that interesting? That he calls his that men still do. They call true shepherds. They call their sheep by name. And the sheep, they said those sheep would recognize the shepherd's voice and they'd follow him. We read in the scriptures, my sheep hear my voice. Second, how they would fight to the death to protect those sheep from thieves and robbers and wild animals. Our Lord said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then listen, their appearance was described. I was reading this. Said they weren't dressed in these little white robes just prancing through playing a flute up on the hillside. They were dressed like warriors marching into battle. A long gun maybe slung over the shoulder, a dagger and a pistol stuffed down in their belt. Fierce eyes and a scowling countenance gave the indication that they were willing to protect the sheep at any cost. Hebrews chapter 13. Turn over there with me, the book of Hebrews. Look at verse 20. Hebrews 13. In verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. Turn to John chapter 10. Look at the book of John. Look, beginning with verse 27. The Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And in case we didn't hear that the first time, he says, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. Safe and secure in the hands of the shepherd. We read this, we're bound up in the bundle of life, held safe and secure in Christ, our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Turn to Luke chapter 15. David told an account where one of those sheep was taken, and he went out and he slew a lion and a bear, and he brought it back to himself. Look at Luke chapter 15 in verse 4. Our Lord told a parable about a shepherd. He said here in verse 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, just one, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together all his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. One lost sheep. And here we again see the work of the shepherd. What do we know? What do we know about the sheep? Well, there's a pretty quick description there. Lost. Lost. That which was lost. This is our condition. Lost and ruined. And listen, we're not just a little bit lost. We don't need just a little bit of direction. We're not just a little bit fallen. We didn't just trip and stumble. We fell. The scriptures say we're dead in trespasses and sin. We've wandered far from the fold. Like that prodigal son, we've said, give us what's ours, and then we've taken our journey into a far country and wasted our substance in riotous living, lost, without help, without hope. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 12. Hold your place there in Luke, but look at Ephesians 2, verse 12. In verse 12, we read that, at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. Listen, we're helpless. We're helpless. We're hopeless to do anything. We're lost and helpless to do anything about it. And that's a description of each one of us by nature. But what's the shepherd do? Huh? Here we read in Luke that he seeks, that he finds, that he brings home, and he rejoices. He rejoices in his work. He seeks it. He goes after that which was lost. Think about this. Think about Paul and Silas. Our Lord sent Paul and Silas to a jail for one reason, that Philippian jailer and his family. Wherever they're found, he sends. He sends after them. Our Lord went through a little town called Samaria. We read that he must needs go through Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. Why was that so important? Well, there's a Samaritan woman there drawing water from the well, one of his lost sheep. He's going to Jericho. What's in Jericho? There's a publican there. There's a fellow named Zacchaeus climbing up a tree just to see what all the commotion's about. And we read that when our Lord came to the place, there was no accident. Well, he came to the place and he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus and he said, come down. Come down. And we read that throughout the scriptures. And today he continues to send forth his preachers to declare the truth of his word for the purpose of calling out his sheep. He seeks it. And then listen, we read he finds it. Nothing is hid from our Lord. Nothing is hid from him. Look at in John chapter 6, verse 39, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which the Father hath given me, I'll lose nothing. I'll not lose one, but I'll raise them up at the last day. That lost sheep, he seeks, he finds, and listen, he brings it home. He brings them home. We read here that he picked it up and he carried it home. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins and carried our sorrows. Verse 5 of Luke 15, it says, when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Who's doing the work there? Huh? It's all of him. He does the work. He's the one that finds. He's the one that leans over and picks it up, puts it on his shoulders. He bears it up on his shoulders. And I was thinking about this, and maybe some of you have done this. I worked on a farm as a younger fella, and we would go out certain times during the year because the cattle were having their calves, and those calves had to be carried in. And those calves would be covered in mud and blood, and a whole lot of other stuff that I won't talk about. And I found this to be true. There's no way of carrying that calf without getting what's on them on me. Filthy. Just covered in it. Our little ones, I don't know if kids still do this or not. We used to go around and find toads and pick them up. I don't know why. I don't know what's so much fun about that. But has anybody ever picked up a toad? And in a short amount of time, your hand's not dry anymore, is it? Huh? And what's on your hand? It takes a lot of soap and water to wash it off. Our Lord, what he bore is far dirtier than anything an animal can get on us. He bore our sin. When he picked us up and he carried us, he bore our sin. And that's what the scriptures declare. He was made sin. Made sin. God made him sin that we might be made the very righteousness of God in him. And yet, he's the spotless Lamb of God. He is perfect. The scriptures, how do we know that? The scriptures declare it must be perfect to be accepted. How do we know Christ was perfect? Well, the scriptures declare it, and we know it by this. God raised him from the dead, and he set him at his right hand. He said this, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." He's the Lamb without spot and without blemish. And over in Isaiah 40, I'll read this to you. Isaiah 40, verse 10. "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young." Oh, that lost sheep. He finds it, and he brings it home. And then we read, he rejoices. He rejoices. Why does he rejoice? Because he's found his lost sheep. Verse 7 of there in Luke, he said, "Likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons." This work, it's all of him. He seeks, he finds, he brings home, and he rejoices. Why wouldn't he rejoice? It's for his glory, isn't it? Huh? Isn't that a description of the great shepherd? Huh? Look, turn back to Psalm 23. Look back there again at verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd." He is. You see that? He is. David said he is my shepherd. Not could be. Not might be, not will be if I let him. He is. He is my shepherd. That's personal, isn't it? He's my shepherd. David says with confidence, "The Lord is my shepherd." All to protect, to keep, to defend. He's my shepherd. And as a result of that being true, he said, "I shall not want. I shall not want. I may be nothing but a weak and helpless sheep, but I shall not want. I may be a dumb sheep." I shouldn't say may. I am a dumb sheep, right? "That wanders and strays, but I shall not want. I may be an old and feeble sheep that is sick and sorrowful, but I shall not want." Why? Is it for anything in the sheep? No, for the Lord is my shepherd. Verse 2, he says, I shall not want for rest. Why is that? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. We're not even smart enough to do that on our own. You see that? He says, he makes me. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for peace. Verse 2, he says, he leads me beside the still waters. Verse 3, I shall not want for redemption or forgiveness, for he restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He clothes us in righteousness, the very righteousness of God. We're made righteous. He's made us righteous. I shall not want for, look at verse 4, for companionship or comfort. Why is that? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. That rod and staff, he comforts. And with that rod, he also rules his flock and defends his flock and directs his flock as to where he would have them have us to go. Verse 5 of Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I shall not want for any provision, because he supplies every need. Abundantly. Abundantly above all we could ever hope or imagine. I shall not want for anything in this life or in the life to come. Look there in verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And listen, not as a guest, but as a son. Remember Mephibosheth when David sent and fetched him and had him brought back? He said, David is going to sit at the king's table. How? As a son. He sat there just like anybody, as sons. We're made sons. How? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the great shepherd. Huh? The Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. He is the chief shepherd. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Our Lord said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. And our hope is this. And may this be our comfort through all time. That the Lord is my shepherd. All right, may God be pleased to bless his word.